13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's as far as I'm going to read for sake of reading. I want to talk to us a little bit this evening about spiritual receptiveness. Spiritual receptiveness. What we are willing to receive spiritually. I thought about this verse this morning when I first awoke. The Bible tells us that you and I are to concerning the Word of God, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. There is no spiritual growth apart from the Word of God. Did you know that? The spiritual things taught in the Word, this book is to be taken literally. I mean, just what it says. But it's spiritually discerned, the Bible said. It takes, and I know I've preached on this in recent days, but there's some other things I feel like the Lord wanted me to bring to our mind just out of this. A lot of people are not willing to accept those spiritual truths in God's Word. The things that build up the spiritual man. Most of what people want to hear in the world is something that's going to benefit their flesh. The world and the flesh. And the pleasure therein. That's what people want to hear. And but this book, you need to remember one thing. It is, to the child of God, it is milk for the babe. It is meat for the mature. It is the water that you and I drink every day. Without it, we thirst. We thirst. Spiritually thirst. And we should hunger and thirst of it. You know, to have a real hunger and a thirst, we know what the Bible says. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, where are we going to find that? Right there in that book. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst after this book. When's the last time you was like the old prophet, you took it and put it in your mouth and began to eat it? Even that, it may be sweet like honey at first, but then become very bitter. There's some things in here that's hard to be swallowed. Peter said of the Apostle Paul's teaching, there's some things hard to be understood. Some things hard to understand why he said it, how he said it, and what was meant by it. Some things hard to swallow. You see, they had been looking as Jews, as now believers of the New Testament. They still thought God's primary testament was just to Israel and to the Jew. But now they're having to swallow the gospel of the whole world. That's what Paul was preaching, that free grace to all men. And Peter knew it was right. God gave him the vision of what? Things he thought he should not eat. And God said, you will eat it. Am I right? And he's talking about receiving what God has given unto us. It's not enough, listen, that it's not enough, church, that we come here and we hear it and maybe even say amen to it. It has to be applied to our life. It has to become a part of who we are. Are you willing? Am I willing? Are we willing absolutely to receive what Christ has said for us, take up our cross and follow Him? To forsake all and follow Him? There are some that they just don't seem like they can hear it. Or maybe they refuse to hear it. The Lord started this chapter, if you want to say it that way, started this day, this same day, went out of the house, sat by the seaside. And he began to speak to these multitudes in parables. And what was he talking about? A sower that went forth to sow. He's talking about the seed of the Word of God. And how that it falls on people's lives. Now I want you to notice something, just a few things. He sowed in verse 4, seeds fell by the wayside. They fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell, what's that word? Upon stony ground. Fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. And some fell among thorns. They were among, upon, and to the side of right where they needed to be, and still were not where they needed to be. Verse 8, but other fell, what's that word? Into good ground. Into good ground. Not upon it. Not beside it. Are you listening? Into good ground. That is exactly how seed grows, is when it goes into good ground. Has to go into good ground. We cannot be surface believers. We have the phylacteries on our head. Amen. We've got scriptures on the outside of us that says Christian, but what about on the inside? Seed that's into good ground. That's coming out, bringing forth this fruit out. But now look what Jesus said here. He said to them, when they ask in verse 10, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now he's going to show us something. He's going to show us exactly what it is and how you and I are given God's word, and how we are to receive it, and how He causes us to receive it. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. There's that spiritual perception. God gives us an understanding. We have to have that. I mean, listen, God, our minds, if we weren't saved, listen, our minds, we could no more comprehend. The carnal man, it can't understand or comprehend the things of God. It takes the spiritual man to do that. God gives us understanding. It is given unto you. That's God's grace. Anytime we have something given to us, it's a gift. It's a gift of God. Unto you is given. Have you been given this? To know the mysteries. There was a time it wasn't given to me to know them. But now it is given to me to know them. If you're saved, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Mysteries that God, listen, prophets desire to look into. A spiritual perception. These secret things that he talks about. Secret things. Mysteries. In Deuteronomy 29, he said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever. And I know that was the Israelites, you know, he was saying that. Look at what he said in Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. In the book of Daniel, he said to him, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." In other words, God at the time of the end would reveal them. He was telling Daniel. In the book of Mark, Jesus said this, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." He's talking about the day of the coming of the Lord. "No, not the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Secret things. Secret things. He said it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. There are more than just one mystery to the kingdom of heaven. There are mysteries. Mysteries that God has revealed and will reveal. There's things about the kingdom I still don't understand. But I do know that you and I, as children of God, will reign with Him. I know that. We'll be in glorified bodies. I know that. I do know that in the kingdom, God's chosen people, the Israelites, the increase of His government, which is the people, there'll be no end. That's what it said in Isaiah. How does a government increase? How big was the government of the United States when it got established? Millions? Maybe even hundreds of millions? Now, we're close to 400 million. I could be wrong. I don't have the exact number, but the increase of this government has grown and grown and grown. How? Who is the government? The government is the people. Governed. And in that kingdom, there's going to be one governor, Christ. One king. And you and I'll reign with Him. There's great mysteries about the kingdom of heaven. These secret things. But He wants to give us this spiritual knowledge. A spiritual knowledge. The Bible talks about a spiritual knowledge. How does I get a spiritual knowledge? Well, spend time with God. Hosea 6:3 says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He is going forth as prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. If you want a spiritual understanding, get to know God. Follow on to know the Lord. To know more. I've preached this here before. You remember when Thomas said, "Lord, show us the Father." And he said, "Thomas, how long have I been with you? And you say, show us the Father?" He said, "I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." If you want to know about God, get to know about Christ. Have a relationship with Him. Get in His Word. This is His Word. The more I know about His Word, the more I'm going to know about Him. That's a fact. And there's no other way around it. Listen, you're not going to find Him out any other way than through His Word. You can in prayer. But the Bible, listen, the Bible is the illumination of who He is. It is the light of who He is. Spiritual knowledge. And it's a privilege. It's a spiritual privilege. A special privilege. He said to them right here, He said, it's given unto you. It's not given to them to know. That's a privilege. That God would share it with me, but not share it with the world. Now, He'll share it with them if they get saved. He ain't gonna, listen, He's not gonna show me any more. He's willing to show you just as much. Is it because I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to know more? No, you can know just as much about Him as I do or anybody else does that's saved. I don't have a copyright on God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Nobody else does neither. But we have His Word to show, and it is a privilege to know Him. But to them it is not given. Verse 11, it is given unto you to know, but to them it is not given. God withholds that knowledge from them. Why does He withhold it? Because it's perilous to man that's not saved. He withheld the tree of knowledge of good and evil from Adam because He said the day he eat of it, he'd die. It's perilous to man apart from Christ. Man is unable, again, to comprehend the truth of God. In John 13, Jesus said this. He said, what I do, thou knowest not now. You remember when He said that to him? What I do, thou knowest not now. We have a limitation. Even us as believers. He said in 1 Corinthians, I think, is it 12 or 13? Now we look through a glass darkly. We can see some things, Brother Carl, but some things we can't fully see. We're looking through a glass darkly. And it'll be revealed then. And only then. A fullness. The peace of God. You can know the peace of God, and you can know peace with God. But the fullness of it, you and I are only going to know it in part till we get with Him. Love, we can only know it in part. Why? Because it's disturbed while we're here. It's disturbed by the world. It's disturbed by the devil. Disturbed by the flesh. By temptation. By so many things. We can feel a touch of God's love, and then the very next minute, the devil have us hating somebody. How can I know the fullness of love if I'm not continually full of love? How can I know the fullness of peace if I'm not continuously full of peace? So these things are withheld from us sometimes. our human weakness. Jesus told them in John, said, I have yet many things to say to you. He said, but you can't bear them now. They couldn't bear them then, at that point. There may be times in our life, could you imagine some things that God has done in your life, even done through great trial? Do you think if God revealed them to you the moment you got saved, you'd be able to bear that? We can't even hardly bear it when He finally does reveal it to us. But soon after, if we allow the revelation of God's grace, grace will teach you and I things. If we allow it. Grace not only teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, grace teaches us many other things. Grace teaches us to bear the thorn in the flesh. What was it that God told Paul when He said, I've prayed 3 times for you to remove the thorn? What did God say was sufficient for him? Paul, you got to let my grace teach you that it is sufficient for that thorn. Grace teaches us more than just denying the ungodliness and worldly lust. It teaches us how to bear a thorn. God's grace is an enlightening tool. It reveals Him. It reveals Him. We don't even, I mean, you think about the things that God reveals to us. We don't even know what one day to the next is going to bring forth. You think you know what tomorrow will hold? We don't. We don't even know what tomorrow holds. We may think, okay, I know this, Brother Mark, tomorrow the sun will pop up in the east. It may not. Not if Jesus comes. You don't know. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We can try to think of what we think a day might bring forth. We don't know what temperature it's going to be tomorrow. I had no idea them storms was going to come the way they did yesterday. I can't even know some of the smallest of things. But He can reveal secret things to us. In Ecclesiastes, He said, a man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon him. He said, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? We're ignorant of one moment to the next. But yet God gives us the privilege of knowing His grace and what He desires to reveal to us. Some things are not needful to be known. Listen, it doesn't matter. It's not needful for me whether tomorrow is going to be hot or cold, rain or shine. It is needful for me to know something about the Lord. To know that His eyes are beholding me. Now that helps me. That helps me to know that not one sparrow falls to the ground with what our Father knows about it. And He said, you're more valued than many sparrows. The secret things belong to God. The invisible God. The Bible said, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. That's God. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Any wisdom, the spiritual wisdom, if you and I want that understanding of the will of God for our life, of the power of God working in our life, I mean, those are things that I want to know about. I want to know what I can do to be one step closer to Him. That's what this preacher wants to know. I want to know, Lord, let me see You. Let me draw closer to You. Let me know You more. Let me know You more. You be in me more. See, He is in us. And He's in us in two ways. He's in us because He abides in us by His Holy Spirit, but also like seed that goes into good ground. Receive Him into His Word. David said, I'll hide His Word in my heart. In my heart. What happens if His Word's hid in my heart? I might not sin against God. That's what David said. I will hide His Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. It may be the very thing you and I need to overcome that temptation later on today. That Word that you put in your heart. You say, Brother Mark, there's a lot of things in it, just stories. They're examples. Examples of the lives of men and women and how God either worked or did not work in their life. Things that they did where they either failed or was victorious. Whether they were enlightened or they walked on in darkness. They're examples. They're not just stories. They're examples. And then there's the Proverbs. And then the song. The meditate upon the Psalms. Then there's the doctrine, the New Testament. Things that you and I put in us. It's glorious when you see Him that way. And when you and I see that one verse, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And you realize no growth apart from it. Brother Carl, since I started reading God's Word as a young believer, I've grown quite a bit. Have I read it enough that I could keep growing without reading it? I know a lot of it. I think I've got quite a bit in me. I can keep growing. There is no growth. Never. Never, ever. No growth, never, ever, apart from you and I desiring it. The desire, I'm going to say this, and I'm about done. I could keep on talking about this subject. You see, if you just read it without a desire, you're not going to really grow. You have to desire it. You have to desire the Word and the growth. What am I really desiring? I'm desiring Him. I'm desiring Him. To know more of Him, to have a closer relationship with Christ, to be closer to Him, to know His love more, His peace more, joy in a world that is so sad. I want to find joy in the Lord. Amen. I was watching a video today somebody sent me. And it was inside a Baptist church. And they just got up and started singing. Started singing about that song, God's Amazing Grace, sent down from heaven, rescued me. I'm telling you, they got to singing that. And little by little, people got to praising the Lord. And before they got that song done, they had to just keep singing the song, because practically everybody in the church was on their feet with their hands in the air, screaming like a bunch of babies, praising God. Sounded like the whistle of a train coming through that church. They were in worship. They were filled with His joy. He can reveal that to you. Now, the world ain't going to know about that. Religion ain't going to know much about that. But you, He'll reveal it to you. He'll reveal it to you. He'll reveal to you all that He is. He'll not hold anything back, because you're His child. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm done. Everybody would stand.